How to Motivate My Teenager Part 3, Senor Cage, Coach Cage, with another podcast, a support system for parents, aunties, uncles, helping them out, keeping our teens motivated. We'll touch on three methods or strategies today. Going in order. Number one, reward them. Will be the first method that we touch upon. Two is reward them again. And last but not least will be teach them your language. And as a foundational conversation that I will share with everyone on this awesome June 9th, 2019 day, Sunday, summer is here. Our kids are out of school. Let the summertime begin. But let's not allow what we call the educational circles summer slip to take place. Some of the skills that they are young people, teenagers, and some younger, we don't want them to slip back into the same state they were before they entered last school year. Reading is important. Personally, I bought some books at the Dollar Tree and been passing them out to my immediate circle of young people and also my young people at my church. So we want to keep people and keep these people engaged in the learning process, whether we're speaking about arithmetic or reading, literacy, and also life too, and their interactions with one another. Also, another thought I would share is that parents, please be careful and be aware that if we as adults choose not to demonstrate the behavior that we expect from our young people, the likelihood of them doing what we are not doing increases. And in addition, we look as though we're hypocritical, and that's exactly what it is. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect in regards to not making mistakes, but I am saying that we need to be consistent in the expectations that we set for our teenagers and our kids. We first must be partakers of that expectation consistently. Moving along, number one, reward them. We keep our teens motivated by rewarding them. And when I use the reward expression, I'm speaking about tangible things, tangible items. When they complete a task, when they do an awesome job with something, when they experience some type of achievement or accolade, we need to reward them. Everybody on the planet, every human wants to be recognized for the greatness that is on inside of them. Everybody wants to be rewarded for doing what's right or doing good. It's very, very important that we build a consistency with our young people in respect to rewarding them. On our end, it may cost money, but we have to transition into being sacrificial. When I say being a part of who we are, being sacrificial for our babies, because our foresight says this is building a habits or character or personalities in our kids for the next generation. It's always generational. It's never just in the moment. It's never nearsighted. We may have a nearsighted perspective collectively if we collect the perceptions. We'll understand that it's for the benefit of our kids and our kids. Reward them. Very, very key. However, I would say that we don't want to manipulate our kids when they do good. They're always looking for something, because that's going to transition into a character flaw. Because I've been a witness to this type of behavior where kids will participate and people will give them money for participating, which incited the disturbance, I call it, because the young people weren't participating because they had answers or wanted to be heard, but they were participating because they knew that they were going to get some money in return. And I brought light to them, and I told them that's manipulation. You got to make sure that you're doing things with the right heart, with the right intent, with the right motive. Be careful. This is a general statement. You have to apply it where it fits specifically in your interactions with your young person. Next, reward them again. Reward them again. When I say, or when I give the statement, reward them again, I'm insinuating, I'm conveying, not tangibly, but the intangible rewards. We can use this method to build character in our young people. Prime example I would give you is that being a facilitator, being an educator, being a teacher that has the opportunity to get in the classroom at times, I've learned over a significant period of time not to take for granted what my students do that I do. I'm going to be on time to class, but sometimes they won't be on time. I expect for them to be on time, but sometimes when you work with young people from rural areas saturated in poverty, them being on time is an accomplishment to them, and that must be recognized in order to build them up. Me exemplifying this type of strategy is, good job, you were on time today. Not in a sarcastic tone, but sincerely acknowledging them for being on time and connecting that to a character attribute of integrity. And I would say to them, good job, you're on time, you're punctual today. That lets me know that you're building a strong foundation of being a person of integrity. And I appreciate that for you. I appreciate that, because that's going to take you a long way in helping people. Easy stuff, but you have to get out of the mind frame of looking at the tangible reward and acknowledging them with intangible praise, confirming, affirming, rebuilding positive character attribute traits. Lastly, teaching them your language. I know in the last podcast we discussed learning their language. Now it's time for us to teach them our language. And language is not defined by verbal. I'm speaking nonverbal as well. We are all educators to a certain degree. When I say educators in the sense of we may not have the credentials or have been to school. However, we all educate through our conversations, through our body language, through our gestures, facial gestures, eye contact, this, that, and the third, as my kids would say. It's important to reflect the language, verbally and non-verbally, that we want to see from our young people. Oftentimes, when I'm in a classroom setting or facilitating exercise or teaching a lesson, I'll inform and educate my students on my nonverbal cues. And as an example, I may share with them that when I put my hand underneath my chin and I gaze off into a whole nother stratosphere, that means that I'm waiting on you all to get it together so we can begin the lesson. But That has to be explained. We can't assume. We can assume if we choose to. We can assume that they will understand our nonverbal cues, but that's too much of a risk, and it can equate to tremendous frustration. Because in our minds, we're figuring why they're not getting it. And the reason why they're not getting it is because we haven't explained to them what they should be getting. So explanation is key. In addition, the verbals that we want from them has to be on point as well if we expect for them to grow. Cursing. I don't condone cursing, because when a young person sees their parent or somebody that they look up to curse, immediately in their mind they justify cursing. And that's not socially accepted behavior from a kingdom perspective or from a paradigm of your true identity. If I don't want my young people or children to be hypocritical, then it's a must that my character attributes consistently reflect one who has experienced a expression or a taste of his true identity. This is Coach Cage. I'm signing out for today. Please, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me at divorcethepast@gmail.com, or you can directly get in touch with us at Divine Works Education and Training at 773-599-1133. We want to reward them with tangibles. Reward them again with nonverbal or non-tangible to build strong character. And then we want to teach them our language by consistently explaining and consistently demonstrating nonverbal cues that are non-threatening, but can cue our young people and they can understand the cue and respond to the direction that we want them to take. Peace and love. Talk with you soon.